Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 6th, in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of Saturday's broadcast. As you know, I'm normally live 6 days a week. Last week, we had a few days off. But, man, we were hard-hitting the days that we were there. I'll tell you that right now. Ladies and gentlemen, we talked about our good brother, Will Christensen, one of the co-founders of the Independent American Party. He passed away. We would also note that the other co-founder, Wayne Hill, of the Independent American Party passed away as well on November 2nd, 2021. So these two good brethren passed away about a month apart. Our prayers are with their families. Rip Will, rip Wayne. Rest in peace, my good brothers. God bless you for the dedication to liberty you had in life. And I'm sure as you continue into the next life with your God, you will continue to advocate for liberty and work with us hand in hand on both sides of the veil for the sacred cause of liberty. We will miss these two men who felt so strongly about liberty that they gave freely of their time, their talents, their money, their resources to the Independent American Party and to the sacred cause of liberty. They believed and felt that they were inspired to create the party, to preserve the Constitution, the supreme law of the land, the United States, and disseminate the foundational principles of liberty. God bless both you gentlemen. Thank you so much for your love, for your service, for your friendship. Just incredible gentlemen. We then dovetailed that into the broadcast we had on Friday, first hour with Christopher Carlson. Speak up. We are already in trouble. Warn the people. And so I've been warning you forever about the media and how the new media taking center stage is incredibly key, or one of the great keys to making sure we can fight this battle for liberty, to fight this continued war in heaven that's continued on the earth between tyranny, Satan's plan, and liberty, the plan of the Savior, or God's plan that the Savior Jesus Christ embraced, right? Anyway, I highlighted my behind-the-scenes conversation with a PhD professor emeritus of communications at a well-known university. I called her CM for short, and I broke that down. It was long and detailed, our back and forth. It even went into the second hour behind-the-scenes email discussion continues. Wow. So here we are to this professor. You contact me, insult me, and claim that I am wrong and didn't have my facts together. It turns out that you attacked me clearly without cause. I did have my facts together. You insult Joy Reid in the process, clearly without cause. What is your real agenda? Why did you really contact me? What is your goal? Maybe it's needed for some honesty on your end, I write. Even though we may disagree on some issues, we can still have open dialogue and respect for one another's beliefs, ladies and gentlemen. I may not agree with you on what you say, but I'll agree that you have the right to say it. What we lack most in our so-called enlightened day is open, kind, and moral leadership. What we need is good, honest, and wise statesmen and women who will tell the tale of liberty. Will we ever learn to disagree agreeably is the question that I ask in the end. Bottom line is this lady literally contacted me and attacked me, said your facts aren't right on a story. Turns out that it was literally an 18-month-ago broadcast. And I proved to her that I was right, and she admitted it, and then she attacked me, saying, well, you made it sound like it was a modern issue when it's not. And I said, no, it was a rebroadcast The date of the show was on the start of the show. I never indicated this was recent. She then, you know, said, oh, you got me again. I'm wrong. You're right. And then she proceeded to attack me, saying that I unfairly represented the story. I pushed back. It comes down to opinion. She believes that that journalist, Andrea Mitchell, is above reproach. I say shame on her jettisoning of journalistic standards. And I proceeded to answer that reflective question. Can white people grieve en masse when black people die? And the answer is, of course, the answer is yes. Incredible show. That was on Saturday, if you want to listen to the archives. If you want to listen to the Chris Carlson interview about warning the people, check it out. Friday, first hour, all available at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. We've got a lot to cover and not enough time to get it all done, so we'll just jump right in. Lowell Nelson, my good brother, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Good to be with you, Sam. Thank you for having me.
Speaking of warning the people, Rand Paul writes a letter to a bunch of us and warns us, and boy, it's shocking, Lowell.
It sure is, Sam. He writes about the armed agents, okay, FBI agents in Texas, dispatched to homes of private citizens to arrest parents who have the wrong opinions about critical race theory. Yes, you heard that correctly, folks. A minister and a veteran voiced opposition to a school board in the school district's police department. Boy, have you heard that before? A school district having a police department? Wow. In coordination with the sheriff, they sent armed agents to arrest them in their home. Man alive, Sam, where was the constitutional sheriff in this case? Sounds to me like these two live in a county without one. Again, folks, electing a sheriff who understands the proper role, meaning standing between citizens and a tyrannical government, is one of the most important bulwarks citizens can establish. Well, so who are domestic terrorists in the eyes of the general government? Attorney General Merrick Garland thinks domestic terrorists are parents who do not share his left-wing views. Garland said he was going to send FBI agents to crack down on these parents, and that's what he did. Representative Adam Schiff said in an interview, why do I quote him? Well, because he's part of this general government. He said, we need to elevate our response to domestic terrorism, to put it on a plane with our response to international terrorism. Wow. Well, as Rand Paul states in his email, they've made it clear who they think the domestic terrorists are. Conservatives who speak their mind. End of quote. In related news, Sam, I have to tell you about this FBI raid on the home of an activist mom in Colorado, but any other comments about Rand Paul's letter before we jump to this related story?
Well, just that they're sending armed agents to deal with critical race theory. They're sending armed agents to deal with anybody who pushes back at a government school meeting. They're now sending goons around regarding vaccinations. This is a Joe Biden presidential push. Garland is just downstream part of Biden's belligerent power grab is what we're really discussing here. Lowell, to make it very clear.
Right, and I don't even think is Biden masterminded this as part of his administration. I think there's probably some puppet string pullers behind him who are pushing these things. I don't think Mr. Joe Biden really has the mental capacity anymore to be doing this kind of stuff, but nevertheless, it's happening.
And let's be very clear, too, all of these things happening in coordination, in their totality, could never have happened all of a sudden with Joe jumping into power. This has been in planning and coordination, and this is a coordinated, synergistic effort that has been put together and planned literally for years. And as you study and understand what's being rolled out simultaneously, you can come to no other conclusion when the issue is honesty, Lowell.
Well, good point, Sam. So here in Colorado, an FBI special weapons and tactics team, meaning a SWAT team, along with state and local authorities, they went to a home of an active mother of four in Grand Junction, Colorado. When was this? About 2 weeks ago. Just 2 weeks ago. Sharona Bishop is the mother of four children. She's a constitutional conservative. She's an American patriot who tenaciously defends core values of God-fearing patriots who do not want to lose the freedoms and rights of all citizens who live in the greatest country in the world. Well, this is according to her bio on the Truth and Liberty Coalition website. She runs the America's Mom platform dedicated to parents' education on Colorado legislation concerning public schools. She's been a vocal opponent of the indoctrination of American children in the public schools and has been involved in local school-based and congressional races. In fact, Sam, she flipped 9 school boards in her area, in Colorado area where she lives there. Flipped meaning took them away from the status and put them back in the hands of, you know, grassroots citizens like you and me. And I think this is probably one of the reasons that they got upset with her. But anyway, a couple Tuesdays ago, Bishop was homeschooling with her children when she heard a knock on the door, profuse pounding on her door. It was about 9 in the morning. And so she had a premonition and asked her children to hide in their bedroom. She went to the door just as SWAT team broke it down with a battering ram. And they took Bishop outside of the building, outside of her house, and handcuffed her and kept her there for a while. They searched the house, Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, segments of our government have flat out gone rogue. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, and Sam Bushman on your radio. We're talking about this war on domestic terror. Senator Rand Paul writes, armed agents in Texas have been dispatched to the homes of citizens who challenge critical race theory. Now in Colorado, a homeschooling mother literally gets a battering ram hammered down her door and the family yanked out while they're at home. Lowell?
Yep, just minding their own business, really. It was interesting, the charges. They wouldn't show her a search warrant when she asked for one at the beginning, but after the search was concluded, they left behind papers relating to their search indicating that she was suspected of causing, quote, intentional damage to a protected computer, comma, wire fraud, comma, and conspiracy to cause damage to a protected computer, end of quote. That's what the search warrant said. Amazing. Sharona Bishop is neither a violent person nor a criminal. They could have talked to her anytime. She was very vocal, visiting school board meetings and talking around town and being vocal on her platform. And they could have just visited, could just have talked with her. I mean,
yeah,
why did they have to batter down her door?
Because the grand conspiracy for tyranny requires the fear factor to be ratcheted up at every level on every person in society. And if you raid that home like that, batter in the door, you know, yank her out, do all this stuff, then, hey, the whole country is in fear that, Lowell, you're going to be next, buddy. Sam, you're going to be next, buddy. And that fear factor is being ratcheted up to extreme levels, showing the true color and intent of the real terrorists. Ladies and gentlemen, they blame us for domestic terror, but it's them that are committing domestic terror, ladies and gentlemen. Any final comments on that, Lowell?
That's it, Sam. Thank you for helping us be the platform for this important message. We're raising the voice of warning here, ladies and gentlemen. We need more of these mama bears out there, flipping school boards and raiding against CRT. I'm telling you, we need to do it now while we can before the tyranny tightens down, Sam.
And don't believe the dishonest misconception that, oh, I'm glad it wasn't me, I'm glad it was somebody else, I'll just keep my head down, it won't happen to me. All that'll happen if we stay silent and don't stand up, Lowell, is the reign of terror will get more and more and more holistic, abusive, in your face, and it will eventually snare you as well. Don't deceive yourself otherwise. Here's some proof to make the point. Last week, on November 30th, the U.S. House of Representatives passed H.R. 550. It hasn't passed the Senate. It's not signed by the president yet, but they're well on their way. Lowell, what is it, and how do we deal with it?
It is called the Immunization Infrastructure Modernization Act. And it was sponsored by Representative Annie Kuster to bolster our country's vaccine infrastructure in the wake of the COVID-19 so-called pandemic. This bill would provide government $400 million, your tax dollars, to create a system defined as, quote, a confidential, population-based, computerized database recording immunization doses any healthcare provider administers to persons within the geographic area that database covers, end of quote. Yeah, so it would basically improve and expand information sharing between state and federal governments, as well as public and private healthcare providers, to ensure vaccines are being administered effectively and efficiently across states and territories. These systems can allow providers to keep vaccines and supplies in stock, prevent over or under vaccination, remind parents when they are due for a recommended vaccine, and identify areas of low vaccination rates to ensure equitable distribution of vaccines. End of that quote. So, I mean, that's what they say about the bill. That's what Kuster wrote about the bill. Not a single Democrat voted against the bill, but 80 Republicans voted for it. In fact, Sam, all four members of the U.S. House from Utah voted for it. Despicable.
And all I can say is shame, shame, shame on them. Again, this is where the Republican Party, I know people want to, you know, vote Republican because they believe that it's better than the Democrats, but this is where evil is still evil. This is where we're deceived. Every time we have a chance to stop something, enough of our, quote, party, or the Republicans, if you will, and I'm not even a Republican, I'm just kind of highlighting this point, every time we're betrayed by our own. That happened with health care, that's happening with this, that's happened with, I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. The spending bills, they claim and hold out and do this and that, and then they betray us. The Supreme Court, we put guys on the Supreme Court, so-called conservatives, 9 times out of 10, one or two of them, just enough, we're always almost there, but we never ever get the job done, it seems, Lowell, and this is no different.
There is a Republican from Illinois, Mary Miller, one of the 130 Republicans who voted no. She told Breitbart News on Wednesday of last week that the legislation would enable the federal government to track unvaccinated Americans who, quote, will be targeted and forced to comply with Biden's crazy global vaccination vision, end of quote. Yeah, so she's asking the question, do we really trust the government to protect our medical records? And then she says, quote, the bill's author even bragged in her press release, these systems will help the government remind patients when they are due for a recommended vaccine and identify areas with low vaccination rates to ensure equitable distribution of vaccines. This was, and then she sums this up. She says, this was clearly a legislative tool to enforce vaccine mandates and force their Orwellian rules onto those not complying. Right? So this is just raunchy. Yeah, it's going to give, and by the way, it's going to be done with perverse financial incentives, because if you are a state that that puts into effect this these infrastructure modernization things to vaccine databases, then you get what? You get more money. According to the bill's text, the government would award grants and cooperative agreements to health departments or other local government entities for agreeing to adopt the new data collection guidelines. This is the CDC set. Any agencies hoping to receive a grant must agree to comply with security standards to protect personal health information.
These now, let's be very clear, ladies and gentlemen. They don't have authority to collect this information. That's the first issue. Even if Congress pretends they have authority, they don't. That was never delegated to Congress. Constitutionally speaking, the consent of the governed never gave consent. Let's be very clear on that reality. Secondly, the states don't have to obey the federal government on any point. We should highlight that check and balance of dual sovereignty every time we get the opportunity. The next point to be made about this is, even if they had authority to gather the information, which they don't, information is not evil. It's who's in charge of it and how it's used that can become evil. And in this case, that same group, that same database, those who are in charge of that information can remind you when you don't have a vaccine. Or they can make sure that if you don't get your vaccine, you can't buy anything, that you can't participate in society, that you can't go on a plane, that you can't go to the store, that you eventually there will be measures put in place that say measures that say, look, you're not complying with the database requirements. And they'll back into this and say, this is mandated by Congress. You must comply or else you cannot have your liberty. That's where this is headed, Lowell, and we know it because we see it already in so many other venues. You push back against CRT, wow, the FBI is going to come to your house. And they'll make up charges. They'll bury you financially. They'll batter ram your door down. You don't stand a chance against these goons. That's where we're headed with this. Let's make sure it's very clear.
Very clear, Sam. The problem is they don't have as many people as we have, folks. They have, what, 5,000 BATF agents in the whole country? And we have, you know, what 300 million people, well over 300 million people in this country? And so when you look at it, it's out of pure numbers perspective. They do not have the manpower to enforce all of their mandates. And so that's where we need to make sure that, that's why we're saying we need to stand up. We have the numbers right now. We have the power's in our hands.
Only if we use it, though. Otherwise, there is no power.
Yep. We got
to
exercise.
Right. Now, I mentioned to you, ladies and gentlemen, this is very important. I mentioned to you that they will use this database as a hammer against us. They've already got a database about who's vaccinated and not. And you have to prove you're vaccinated to go on a cruise. Well, some people did that. They proved they were vaccinated. They went on a cruise. It didn't go very well. Details from Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, in mere seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Oh,
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Early data from the new Omicron variant of COVID-19 does not indicate a great degree of danger.
There is an expectation that 30% of the non-vaxxers said, under no circumstances would I get a vaccination. Because of the new variant, are now saying, I'm going to get a vaccination.
Reports from South Africa, where it emerged, suggest hospitalization rates have not increased alarmingly. 98-year-old Senator Bob Dole, a son of Kansas and a World War II battlefield survivor, became one of the longest-serving Republican leaders. He passed in his sleep Sunday morning. A Myanmar court sentenced the country's ousted leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, on Monday to 4 years in prison on charges of inciting public unrest. The 76-year-old faces 11 charges in what many are calling politically motivated. Thanks for listening. It's well appreciated. We are USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to your health care? I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor, you choose your hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care because our rights come from God, not government. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. It was for me. I joined.
You may be into punk rock, soft rock, or classic rock, R&B, hip-hop, or house, country, techno, or techno country. But no matter what kind of music you listen to, here's something else you should hear. Please consider getting vaccinated. Talk to your pharmacist today about Comirnaty, COVID-19 vaccine mRNA. This message brought to you by BioNTech and Pfizer.
Let's get a COVID-19 Omicron variant update.
A third of U.S. states report cases of the new coronavirus variant, although the health officials suggesting that it may be less dangerous than the previous Delta variant.
Thus far, the signals are a bit encouraging regarding the severity. But again, you got to hold judgment until we get more experience.
Dr. Anthony Fauci on CNN's State of the Union. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky telling ABC's This Week, we can expect more cases in the coming days.
We know we have, several dozen cases, and we're following them closely, and we are every day hearing about more and more probable cases, so that number is likely to rise.
Walensky saying 99.9% of the cases in the U.S. are the Delta variant. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
The Detroit Lions won their first NFL game this year by beating the Vikings Sunday. The record is now 1-10-1. USA Radio News.
According to the Louisiana Department of Health, ladies and gentlemen, all crew members and everybody on the ship was fully vaccinated, ladies and gentlemen. So they took off on a cruise. It didn't go so well. So let me be very clear. We, in this case, have a law. It's not really a law, but there you go, where people have to be vaccinated. They all did that. They all got the shot. The, quote, experimental vaccine that does serious, serious damage. The evidence becomes abundantly clear the further we get into this thing. Anyway, and they literally follow all the guidelines. We do exactly what they tell us, quote, to do. And it goes all wrong, lol.
Yeah, 3,200 passengers, Sam, 100% of them had been fully vaccinated at least 2 weeks before boarding this cruise ship that left New Orleans last week, November 28th. It got back to port yesterday, December 5th, after making stops in Mexico, Honduras, and Belize, and they reported 10 cases, okay? 10 cases of COVID-19 were reported on this cruise. But here's the kicker, Sam. There's two kickers. Number one, you already mentioned it, they were all fully vaccinated. All the crew, all the staff, all the passengers, 100% of the human beings on that cruise ship had been vaccinated at least 2 weeks prior to boarding that ship. That's kicker number one. But basically, that, you know, vaccination does no good, right? I mean, these are breakthrough cases. You get COVID whether you have it or not. But the second kicker is this. The 10 cases were, quote, asymptomatic. I mean, meaning they didn't feel sick, they didn't look sick, And yet these cases were classified as, you know, COVID-19 cases on board, right? They did tests of these people on board, and they found that they were, you know, they tested positive for COVID, and yet they were asymptomatic. So anyway, 3,200 people go on a cruise ship. They all have a good time, great time, and then some of these defective PCR tests come back positive, these false positives, 10 false positives come back, and now we're hearing about it. It makes headline news. I mean, I don't understand. Yeah, it's more of the fear porn, fear that's being mongered by the CDC and the mainstream news outlets, Sam. That's all I can figure. Just that makes me never want to go on a cruise ship, Sam.
Well, not only does it make you never want to go on a cruise ship, but here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. This is what they're telling us the solutions are. They've been telling us this for 18 months. Get the vaccination, you'll all be good. The vaccinations are safe and effective. And now we have 10 confirmed cases out of the 3,200 people on the ship. But they say that everybody who leaves the ship now is going to have to be tested. Again, I thought they said vaccinated people didn't need to be tested. Remember that lie? You need to be tested if you're not vaccinated, but the vaccinated people need to be tested. Now they're saying they're going to test everybody coming off the ship, and the question is, what will the number really rise to? And can we even trust the numbers that come out of this? In other words, if it turns out to be, 1,000 have COVID, will they really report that 1,000 vaccinated people coming off the ship have COVID, or will they somehow minimize those numbers, ladies and gentlemen? This is very serious when an outbreak on a ship happens for fully vaccinated passengers, according to the Louisiana Department of Health, lol.
I'll tell you what, Sam, it's sobering. Sometimes I think the news media, they don't know what they want to report. Sometimes they want to report tons of cases to spread the fear of that and ratchet up the need to be so-called vaccinated. But then if they report that too much, then they everybody's going to know that their vaccines aren't effective, right? And but on the other hand, if they don't report all of these cases, then, you know, where's the fear? How are they going to monger the fear? So
if they were not vaccinated, this would be the top story. If they're all vaccinated, they minimize the story and say, don't worry, we got a handle on this. Out of 3,200, it was only 10, no big deal. And they try to dismiss it. But I'll tell you what they simply do not want to report. They don't want to report the smoking gun data we are now gaining regarding this whole huge gargantuan scandal. Lol.
Well, thanks to the efforts of a group called the Public Health and Medical Professionals for Transparency, we now have smoking gun confidential documents that show that Pfizer and the FDA knew early this year in 2021, early this year, that Pfizer's mRNA vaccines were killing thousands of people, causing spontaneous abortions or miscarriages, and damaging three times more women than men. All right, this one.
Now that is shocking because we've told you there was baby, parts or whatever you want to call it, baby tissue in these vaccines. They said, "Oh no, there's not." Even though now we find out through whistleblowers that there is. Then we said, hey, it makes you sterile or it can cause problems with your baby. They lied and said, no. Those who say that are into conspiracy theory. Now we have smoking gun documents proving the vaccine companies documented that to the FDA before the vaccines were ever even emergency authorized. Lol.
This is why they wanted to delay the release of this information for 55 years. They actually asked a judge to delay the release of this information for 55 years. Well, fortunately, Sam, this court judge disagreed, and he ordered the release of 500 documents per month. And in the very first batch of documents that were released last week, they contained this bombshell document entitled The Cumulative Analysis of Post-Authorization Adverse Event Reports. The document reveals that within just 90 days after the emergency use authorization release of Pfizer's mRNA vaccine, the company was already aware of voluntarily reported adverse reaction these adverse reactions that got voluntarily reported. They weren't required, but they volunteered this information. They revealed 1,223 deaths and over 42,000 adverse reports, describing a total of 158,000 adverse reactions. The reports originated.
Say those numbers again. This is worth repeating. Say the number again. Because, again, when you take the vaccine, they want you to believe it's safe and effective, and there's really nobody getting harmed. In fact, anybody who suggests that's a conspiracy theorist. The only real way forward for safety, for effectiveness to stop COVID is the vaccines. But listen to these numbers again. Lol?
1,223 deaths. Over 42,000 adverse reports describing a total of 158,893 adverse reactions. Okay, so 42,000 reports of various adverse reactions, 1,200 of them being deaths. These reports originated from a number of countries, including the U.S., the U.K., Italy, Germany, France, Portugal, Spain, and other nations. So what's shocking about this, Sam, is that the FDA knew and Pfizer knew of these deaths, but still reported that the mRNA vaccines were, quote, safe and effective. Well, these barely scratch the surface of the damage and the deaths caused by these vaccines, Sam, right? The document reveals that more than three times as many women are damaged than men. There were 29,914 adverse events recorded in women, and with just 9,182 recorded for men, so roughly 30,000 adverse events in women, 10,000 in men, and yet these were labeled safe and effective. And by the way, under the label of missing information, Pfizer also told the FDA that it has no information about the use in pregnancy and lactation. And also the use in pediatric individuals less than 12 years of age, right? No information in those two categories. And yet, this vaccine has been labeled safe and effective for pregnant women. It's been labeled safe and effective for children down to 5 years of age, right? Even though Pfizer admitted and told the FDA outright they have no information about the use of this mRNA vaccine for in pregnant and lactating women and in children less than 12 years of age. They just lie, folks. They're just lying to you. When they say this vaccine is safe and effective, they know for sure they don't have the data, they don't have the information, they even admit it in this bombshell document report, Sam. And so what we really have here is this is a criminal conspiracy, Sam, and these people need to be held to account for it. They need to be indicted, and they need to be thrown in prison. They need to be criminally prosecuted for putting a product on the market that they knew with credible evidence from the manufacturer itself were not safe, nor were these things effective. And yet they marketed it as though it were, Sam.
The FDA, ladies and gentlemen, the FDA committed criminal fraud and misrepresentation in approving mRNA vaccines as safe and effective, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? The fact is, we need Nuremberg trials to start now. Okay, top FDA decision makers must now face arrest and criminal prosecution. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Ladies and gentlemen, the FDA committed fraud, criminal fraud, and misrepresentation when they approved these experimental mRNA vaccines as safe and effective because, you know what? Top FDA decision makers literally knew the truth because Pfizer told them so, that people were dying left and right. Smoking gun documents, prove this reality, ladies and gentlemen. TheTruthAboutVaccines.com is where you can learn more. TheTruthAboutVaccines.com. I'm going to say it one more time. TheTruthAboutVaccines.com. We need to fire Fauci. Fauci's lying about Rand Paul, who's blowing the whistle on this. And we really need to stand together because you know what, ladies and gentlemen? COVID is a pandemic, a fear manufactured by authorities. Even a Yale University professor is now doubling down with that reality check. We have got to reject the criminal fraud. We've got to stop these deadly vaccinations that are now being targeted to our children. Final comment on this one, Lowell?
That's it, Sam. A great summary. Well, there's this quietude of the people, right? Federalist number 46, that's what Madison said. In order to stop the overreach of a federal government that's too big and has too long of a reach, disquietude of the people. Sam, we need to stand up and make our voices heard. That's the answer.
Amen to that reality check, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious business indeed. TheTruthAboutVaccines.com. That's the website you need to know. TheTruthAboutVaccines.com. All right, Lowell. We've got to fight on so many fronts, critical race theory, vaccines, vote fraud, the initiative petition, reforming Utah's election process got filed last week, securevoteutah.org for more. Lowell?
That's right, Sam. Initiative petition that would take us back 40, 50 years to paper ballots cast in person on election day, but allowing for absentee ballots for those who simply cannot vote in person, cast in local precincts and counted by local volunteer election judges, not by computers, okay, not centralized computers, but counted by human beings one by one, observed by your neighbors. This is the way we did it in Utah for decades, Sam. And so we did this group of activists that filed this petition with the lieutenant governor here in Utah last week. They want to put this on the general election ballot in 22 to allow all of the registered voters in Utah vote on whether we want to go back to this or not. Basically, it's security over convenience, right? I mean, I agree, it's convenient to mail in a ballot, you know, just fill it out at your kitchen table and then put it in the mailbox and away it goes. Well, that's one way of doing an election, but it's not secure. It's convenient, yes, but it's not secure.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you have a problem with the scandals that have been taking place with the huge segments of society now that simply cannot trust the system. Whether there was vote fraud or not, you can decide for yourselves. I'm convinced there was absolutely vote fraud committed. Others can say I'm involved in a conspiracy theory. But the problem is, if you think that convenience is worth the whole national fabric being divided over this issue, then you're crazy. I don't think it's more convenient at all. In the short term, may be true. But in the reality, when it comes to the security of, the protection of, the integrity of the United States elections, all the way from your precinct level, all the way up to the federal level, or the general government level, okay, it is not convenient to have this rift in the population to where both sides claim the other side has not a clue and is dishonest and whatever. That's not convenient. That strikes at the very heart of what makes America tick, lol.
Yes, so to decentralize that process is the key. We decentralize the counting process, the casting of ballots and the counting of those ballots. We decentralize those to every voting precinct in the state, and then it becomes the responsibility of our own selves, our own neighbors, to administer the election and to count the ballots in the presence of witnesses, one by one, by hand, in other words, not using computers that can be corrupted, can be manipulated by people above these central processing ballot counting units, right? And so it's just a much better way to go. There's no chain of custody issues. Basically, you go to your polling location, you cast a ballot, it sits there in the box all day long until it begins to be counted. You can watch the ballot come out of the boxes and being counted one by one. And you know the results of the election before 10 or 11 p.m.
Don't have a short memory, Americans. Remember, that's the way it used to be, like clockwork.
Yeah.
If you want convenience, what you want is the system to work without any questions and to be timely. And the only way to make that happen is incredible vote watchers under the penalty of perjury, precinct by precinct, in-person voting, and then you want to basically make sure that it all happens timely. The answer to the problem, the solution is very simple. Please go immediately now to securevoteutah.org. Put your name on the line to support this effort. I signed the petition with a notary the other day at an event, lol.
You rock, Sam. That is awesome. We have a deadline, Sam, February 15. We need to gather 150,000 signatures from registered voters in Utah to make this, well, to put this proposed law on the ballot in 22. And so we're asking people to go, just like you did, to securevoteutah.org. Give us your name and contact information so we can organize ourselves over the next 3 weeks and be prepared to hit the ground running on January, that first weekend in January, and begin collecting these signatures. We'll need to collect about 25,000 per week for 6 weeks in order to hit our targets. So that's why it's important to do this now, folks. If you live in Utah, can help with this, please join us at securevoteutah.org. Sam?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, we need 3 hours to cover the incredible topics that we're discussing today with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. He does a phenomenal job just watching the news, watching the web, keeping an eye on and a finger on the pulse of the things that are happening in America that matter the most. That's what Liberty Roundtable, by the way, is all about. But Joel Skousen was able to give an end-of-year briefing to folks in Payson, Utah. And Lowell has an update. I just hope we have enough time to do this justice. Lowell?
Well, we'll hit the highlights, Sam. Joel Skousen, he's a political scientist, a high-security retreat consultant. He's been around the block longer than you and I have been, Sam, and he has a great deal of wisdom. He's got insiders all over the world that feed him information on what's really going on inside the dark operations world, and of course he can connect the dots. This briefing was held at the Payson High School this year, Sam. It has a big auditorium that would accommodate 1,000 people. We chose that spot because we needed more room, frankly. We had 320 people attend last year, 400 this year, And so we needed that auditorium to accommodate the many, many people who come and listen to Joel Skousen. Now, Sam, for many years, Joel has been warning us to prepare for the economic and political upheaval that we're beginning to encounter right now. I mean, you talk about COVID pandemic. I mean, that is political upheaval. That's economic upheaval. We've been talking about this for years. He's been warning us. And so we're now beginning to see and feel those upheavals in our societies around the world. Well, Joel repeated his warning about the threat of an EMP strike, the need for a nuclear fallout shelter, and not to be in the blast zone of a nuclear strike against a military target such as Hill Air Force Base up there in Clearfield, Utah. Joel reminded us about Presidential Directive 60, signed by Clinton in 1997, which is still in effect, which says essentially that we are to absorb a first strike, a nuclear first strike, before retaliating. But with what, said Joel, if we absorb that first strike and they take out our nuclear missiles, then how are we going to retaliate? Well, that is an important question, and nobody wants to address it, really. I mean, and so following this initial strike, probably an EMP strike, by the way, we will probably suffer for a year without electricity in this country. Because why? Well, an EMP strike would disable most of the transformers that dot our electrical grids here in this country. Those transformers enable power to be transmitted over the transmission lines to almost everywhere in our country. Without those transformers, we don't transmit electricity. It turns out that we buy our transformers from China, and they take a long time to manufacture. Well, and this was kind of fun, Joel, Joel observed that about half of us are overweight, encouraged us to heed the promptings of conscience in all things, especially the little temporal things. If we cannot hear and heed his voice in small temporal things, then there is little hope for us as we face the bigger challenges that lie ahead of us. And Sam, this was a theme that he only spent 5 minutes on it this year, but last year, as you may remember, he spent a full 20 minutes on this very important topic of helping people understand the voice of conscience, the promptings of conscience in their how they feel about it in their heart, how they feel in their stomach, how they feel in their mind about something. So, folks, you can go, if you go to the YouTube channel of Latter-day Conservatives, I think it's like ldconservatives.com or whatever, and go to the bottom and hit the YouTube channel link, you can get his speech from last year on the promptings of conscience. Absolutely 20 minutes of very valuable information to help us make decisions and respond to the important feelings that heaven sends to each one of us. Well, Sam, the devil wants us to believe that all is well in Zion, and so that we will fail to prepare ourselves, our homes, and our families. If we don't think there's a danger, we're not going to prepare for the economic chaos and upheaval that's coming. And so, that's the bottom line, Sam. He did talk about the COVID pandemic. It's one of the three great deceptions. And talked about the defective lab tests, the defective false positives from this test. The CDC claim about asymptomatic carriers. It's just crazy, Sam. Wonderful, wonderful presentation. It will be available on the net in the next week or two, and we'll let you know when it is available. Sam?
JoelSkousen.com, WorldAffairsBrief.com. There you have it. We provide a witness and a warning every day on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. We've done it for more than 25 years. It's not just about Sam's babblings. It's the roundtable. Thank you to Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.com, Joel Skousen, and many others to make these reports possible. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Good to be with you.
For Lowell Nelson and Sam Bushman, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.